This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Coming up in a few minutes, teenage romance in the digital age, using Twitter, Facebook, and texting to build relationships and to break them up. That's our talker today.
But first today, we're going to focus on one reason why a lot of people do rethink their relationships. And that's when your significant other tells you he or she has a sexually transmitted disease. Well, if you've been in such a situation, consider yourself lucky, because at least your SIGO told you. A new landmark study finds that when it comes to one STD, genital herpes, one in six Americans already has it. That's one in six. And with the whole 6 degrees of separation thing, yeah, you know what that means. Someone you know probably has herpes. But here's the thing. 80% of people don't even know they have it. Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's health blog, Common Health, brought the study to our attention. She's here. Hi there, Carrie.
Hi, Meghna.
So, Carrie, I just want to start with one number that you reported on that really made my jaw hit the floor. 50 million Americans?
Yes. According to the American Social Health Association, 50 million Americans, more than all other sexually transmitted diseases combined, have genital herpes. Yes.
Okay.
It's sort of the thing that everybody has and nobody talks about it.
Wow. So if that weren't amazing enough, you also reported on a landmark paper that just recently came out that may explain why one in six people in this country might be carrying the herpes virus.
Yes. In short, it appears that it's incredibly easy to spread the herpes virus even when you're having no symptoms at all.
And that's completely different than what we've always been told.
Yes, I see it as kind of putting the final nail in the coffin of the idea that genital herpes can only be transmitted when a person has an active lesion or sore. And what this study did was it actually quantified how much a person who's having no symptoms at all can be shedding the virus and thus potentially infecting a partner.
So transmitting it without knowing.
Exactly. And what it found was that people who've had symptoms of herpes and who may know that they have it are shedding virus about 20% of days. And people who have herpes but have never had any symptoms are shedding virus about 10% of days. But the really scary part is that when people are shedding, whether they've had symptoms or not, they shed about the same amount of virus. So that means that those people who've never had symptoms on those 10% of days are probably significantly infectious. Mm. And Meghna, I would just put in that that helps explain, I think, how this virus came to be in 50 million Americans, because you can't imagine that a lot of people would be wanting to have sex when they have the equivalent of a cold sore in their nether regions. And in fact, looking at the national numbers, by the time people reach their 40s, 26% of the population is positive.
So that's a quarter of American adults. Wow. Well, let me pull another voice into this conversation now. Her name is Dr. Lydia Schreier, and she's an adolescent medicine specialist at Children's Hospital. Dr. Schreier, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
What are you recommending to people now? I mean, are you saying that basically everybody should get tested since the prevalence rate of herpes is so high?
So I'm not making that recommendation in my population. I say teenagers and young adults. And in those young people, our focus is on primary prevention, prevention of acquiring infection. They don't have it. We don't want them to get it. And that message is across multiple diseases. So we're not recommending testing as a way of altering that message. For young people, the prevalence is much lower. So in teenagers, it's about 1.5%. By the time those teenagers become young adults, the prevalence of genital herpes is more like over 10%. So there's this rapid uptake during those young years that we want to prevent.
Carrie, in your reporting and when speaking to the original author of the paper, Dr. Anna Wald, I believe, out at the University of Washington, does she recommend more testing? I mean, another thing that blew me away in your reporting was that 4/5 of people, 80% of people who have genital herpes don't even know it. So is she saying that there should be more testing?
Right. She does. I gather that there's some controversy about testing. Her argument is that typically when a new couple or a person goes in for STD testing for sexually transmitted diseases. They don't routinely have genital herpes included in the battery of tests. And so they'll come out thinking that they have a clean bill of health when in fact they may still be carrying genital herpes and not know it. And so her argument was you should at least make it available to people. And if more of them get tested and find out that they test positive, they may be able to help prevent transmitting it to partners. The downside, of course, is that a lot of people might not want actually to know that they are positive for genital
herpes.
Ignorance
is bliss, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, once you know, it's your responsibility to then tell partners.
So I think for those people who don't have symptoms, I think it is controversial about whether we just go ahead and test everybody.
I see.
Because one of the principles of screening is that you can then do something with that result differently, that you could offer a treatment that would benefit people if they knew they had the disease earlier, which isn't really the case here. What it does do is allow people to then tell their partners they have herpes, which I'm not sure we're sort of at a place where we can really motivate people to do that effectively.
So, Carrie, here comes the slightly contrarian question, because I imagine a lot of people are hearing this, and while the numbers are astounding, but a lot of those folks are asymptomatic. They may not even know they have the disease. So really, what's the big deal?
Well, it's interesting you say that. In fact, that some of the feedback that's come into Common Health has been saying exactly that. I got an email from a 33-year-old man who wrote that he had been recently diagnosed with herpes. And he wrote, "I certainly won't argue that herpes is good, but I felt your article was written from the point of view that contracting herpes must definitely be avoided without actually examining that assumption. If, in fact, the prevalence among unmarried women between 45 and 50 is more than 50% in the country, at some point we have to ask, just how dire is this?" And then he writes that he thinks that for himself, you know, he has a virus that poses no long-term health risks and whose symptoms are so mild and infrequent that I would never have noticed them without a blood test to detect the virus. Now, Dr. Schreier can speak better to this. There are, in fact, a couple of possible health outcomes that people do need to worry about. But in fact, you know, for a great many people, aside from having the knowledge about having the virus, it may not translate into very much.
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Schreier, I mean, do you anticipate behavior change here? It doesn't sound like you do. So, I mean, is this a big deal?
I think it is a very big deal. So on an individual basis, one person might never experience any pain, any distress from having acquired the infection. Other people, however, can have substantial disease. And perhaps one of the most serious consequences of HSV is what we see in women who acquire it while they're pregnant. They can transmit the virus to their newborn, who can then potentially not survive the infection.
So, Carrie and Dr. Schreier, I have to say, in listening to this conversation, I kind of feel like I'm coming away with this feeling of either I wrap myself in a bubble, right, and never have any kind of contact, physical contact with anybody, because so many Americans already have herpes, or you just kind of have to shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, I'm going to encounter someone who has it, and especially, you know, me being a woman, eventually I might even get it. I mean, that seems like a really depressing future. Is that the message here?
Well, Meghna, I felt like my message was a sort of a combined message of please be very, very careful. You really ought to know how much of this is out there. But also at the same time, if you are unlucky, if you're not quite careful enough and you are unlucky and you are diagnosed with genital herpes, you should know that you have a whole lot of company out there.
Dr. Schreier, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there's a middle ground between the bubble and the shrug, which is that I think people have to engage in a sexual life with their eyes open. So, you know, if it would be great if everybody was using condoms and then they could go, oh, well, maybe I'll get something. But we're not at that point yet. So to be able to raise the awareness about needing to practice safer sex. So I think that's the middle ground I'm looking for.
Well, Dr. Lydia Schreier, adolescent medicine specialist at Children's Hospital, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's health blog, Common Health, you always bring such interesting topics to our attention.
Thank you, Meghna. I think that's a compliment.
It is a compliment because knowledge is power, right? It's better to know.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You can read Carrie's original reporting on this at the Common Health blog. That's commonhealth.wbur.org.
And coming up, today's talker, teenage romance, including building relationships
and breaking them up in the digital age. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.